Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. This is one of a series of podcasts on 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're looking at the way that Paul understood and practiced his ministry, the way that he planted the church in Thessalonica, and the way that he continued to help them. And the approach seems to be that he had the right motives, that led to the right methods, and finally that led to really good memories, both his memories of the Thessalonians and their memories of him. Today we're looking at verses 14 to 16 and about the fact that one of his memories of the Thessalonians is that they were unmovable. Unmovable in a good way, that is. Let's have a look at verse 14. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same things that those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and also drove us out. They displeased God, and are hostile to all men in their efforts to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. Sobering words. He wants to encourage them, and he remembers that when they suffered, when they had opposition, they were unmovable. They were not going to be deflected. Acts 17 verse 5. The Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. They suffered persecution from, well, their own people, and that must be the hardest to bear. It's one thing if people come in from outside, but when it's from people that are your neighbours, that you see when you go to the shops and down the street, that must be particularly difficult. And their faith was proven genuine by these trials, as it talked about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. The trials help us grow, bring us closer to God, and ultimately bring God much, much glory. What kind of persecution have they been enduring, as Paul refers to it? It comes mostly from Gentiles, since the countrymen mentioned back in verses 14 to 16 are a geographical reference rather than a cultural or racial delineation. The persecution of the churches in Judea that's referred to here is not spelled out. Presumably it was so well known among the congregations outside that area that it did not need specifying. In any case, it must have been significant for Paul to reference it. This whole passage here, these few verses, are perhaps Paul's most severe condemnation of the Jews in all of his writings. But it's not personal, in the sense that he's talking about the way that that group opposed God. He says that they drove us out in verse 15. And drove us out is an extreme phrase. In other words, they pursued him to the point of expelling, driving them out. He says that they heap up their sins to the limit, carrying the sense that they do this purposefully, or at least in accordance with the divine plan. As F.F. Bruce says in his commentary on this passage, they are seeing that nothing is left out in the catalogue of their sins. My goodness, that is such an intense idea. And even though this is what they're going through, even though this is what they are experiencing, even though this is so unfair, unjust, and they're not worthy of such persecution, the Thessalonians were unmovable from their faith, and they are unmovable from their faith. And that is a wonderful memory to have of people that you've been privileged to teach, to lead, to serve, the people that you've brought the gospel to. When you see them faithful, not through easy times, not through the pleasant times, but when there is opposition, when there is persecution, when it's not even fair, when people stay faithful through that kind of challenge, then you know that their faith is genuine, and you delight to see that, as we should even in ourselves. Well, next time we'll go on to look at a second part of this idea of the unmovable faith. Until then, if you'd like to know more about our church, you can find us at nwlcc.org. My email is malcolm.cox@iccmissions.org, and my Twitter feed is mccx. Until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.